Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and we're back for another special episode. And if you've been following the show regularly, you know about Jeremy Lucien, who is with the Ravens during the 2023 preseason. Played very well at safety, made the practice squad, and was on the practice squad for the bulk of the season, was cut for about a 3 or 4 week period at one point, brought back again, and then cut again. But was for the bulk of the season, he was on the practice squad. And he's joining us again to talk about his travels since last season and what's been going on in his life. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again.
I appreciate you coming on and making time for us always. I think the listeners have a tremendous interest in your personal story for certain, but also just what it's like to be working hard to get an NFL job and kind of being a little bit frustrated at it. I guess at this point, I'd fairly describe it.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely frustrating. I definitely try to keep myself in as positive of a mind space as possible each day. Because fact of the matter is, you know, even though I believe my circle believes that I belong in the NFL, like, you know, I showed that, all of last year. Fact of the matter is, I'm not there right now, trying to get back. But no, right now, like, nobody's giving me anything definitive to, you know, come in and join their team. So, you know, going each day, not really having a set opportunity in front of me. I just have to, you know, keep waking up off of my own power. Nobody's telling me, hey, you got to get up, you got to go work out. You got to, you know, get up, make sure that you're continuing to talk to your agent regularly, get updates from him. Nobody's, you know, breathing down my neck with a direct consequence. If you don't do this stuff, then this is going to happen. I truly have to, just off of my own power, just keep on getting up every day and then just, you know, continue swinging the hammer at the rock, hoping that it eventually breaks.
It's very well put. I did want to make sure I got to this. So, you know, one of the things about something, let's give some more background, then we'll come back to that in just a minute. So anyway, 4 years at UConn, 1 year at Vandy, mechanical engineering graduate. So you got your engineering degree while you were playing football. I think that's one of the things that people are very impressed about is that, you know, a lot of football players, a lot of players in the NFL, they're not college graduates when they make the NFL. A lot of them go back later, but it's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm. I definitely wanted to make sure while I was in college that I was studying something that, one, I was interested in, but then two, could yield some kind of success down the line, because who knows what will happen with football. Any play you play could be your last. So wanted to make sure that I, you know, set myself up down the road. So mission accomplished, you know, was able to graduate with my degree. So happy about that.
All right. We talked about a little bit of your time with the Ravens last year. So come January, you're out of work again, February anyway, for sure. And then the 90-man rosters are again rebuilt for the summer this year. And that's got to be one of the really frustrating things that, you know, had a good year on the practice squad, obviously has 135, 140 plays of preseason football last year. And I thought played very well during that time. And still, there's nobody trying to pick you up. Can you kind of give me some insight into that, of what the reasons cited were, given some of the success you had and the fact that, were fairly lauded for what you did on the Ravens practice squad?
Without saying too much, you know, even though I did do well, during the preseason and throughout the year on the practice squad, saying too much, I was told that, you know, while I'm away, just take some time to increase my mass. So I think during the season, I was averaging about 195, 196 each week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, take some time to gain a little bit more weight, because I was a corner throughout all of college. And so 195, 196 is pretty solid for a corner. I was definitely on the bigger end, but transitioning to safety, I mean, run support a lot more would probably do me a lot of service if I get a little bit bigger. So there was that. And just outside of that, I mean, it's just a business. That's what they tell you, you know, before you come in, that it is very cutthroat. And I think I definitely learned that. Nobody's a villain here. I don't hold any grudges. It's just the nature of the business. So that's what a lot of undrafted free agents go through, something like that at some point. You get cut and then you got to try to figure out how to work your way back. You may agree with it, you may disagree with it, but that's just part of the journey for a lot of us. So that's something that I've been trying to learn how to deal with, these last however many months.
One thing that that I've heard said is that you need to be careful not to be consistently comparing yourself to other people. And by the way, this is true in any business. Is like, why does this person have a senior job and I'm a junior, whatever? It doesn't make sense. But it's true, certainly in your case, with other safeties, oftentimes veteran safeties have been in the league for a longer time. They're older. They may or may not have more kinetic energy, if we call it that, where you have way more potential energy.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the biggest things I've learned is that not everybody who is currently in the league is necessarily like the greatest guy around, one. And then on the flip side, two, the greatest people around, not all of them are in the league. So there, you might be like really good. You might think you're really good. Stats might prove that, but there are oftentimes circumstances that may give somebody else an opportunity and you don't have an opportunity. And then now you're stuck looking at, well, what are they doing that I'm not? So I try to stay away from that mindset. Because I think it's going to definitely lead me to a dark place and I'll just keep, you know, banging my head against the wall. I don't want to do that. So I think that the way that I go about it is just constantly try to look internally, whatever the reason is. Somebody is in a spot that I want to be in, whether I agree with it or not. There's clearly something that like I could be doing that I'm not, that would get me that opportunity if I do work on that kind of stuff. If that makes sense. So sure. I always just try to look at myself. I know that I'm not perfect. There's always room for improvement. So always, you know, the rule of thumb is just try to put yourself, if you're not where you want to be, if you're not playing as much as you want to be, force the coaches to play you, force them to, you know, to put you on the team. So.
All right. Very good. I know Tony Jefferson was with the Ravens in a development role, scouting role, whatever it was this last season, I believe. And he again came out of retirement, decided he wanted to play safety again in the NFL, appeared he'd made the team with an unbelievable final game with the Chargers.
That was an impressive stat line.
Say again?
No, that was a very impressive stat line.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, it had like an interception and a fumble recovery and some huge number of tackles for a preseason game.
Yeah, all in like the first half of the game.
But is he someone you had contact with about playing safety anytime over the last year or so?
So I haven't spoken to him since leaving Baltimore, but while I was there, so he was in our room a lot in the DB room whenever we were watching film. So, you know, got a bunch of chances to interact with him. And then also on the practice field, he would be, you know, walking around, would be on the defensive sideline. So I've spoken to him a few times at practice, and he gave me some words of encouragement. Oftentimes just told me like, you know, keep doing what I'm doing. It definitely seemed like he saw the potential that I had. So that was pretty nice to hear from, you know, from a vet who's been around for a little while and knows a thing or two, that he thinks highly of me. So it was definitely cool to be able to interact with him during the year.
Some of the coaching tree expansion ever help you make new contacts with new teams? It seems like if you look at the New York Jets roster, for example, it's filled with all kinds of players that Joe Douglas knew from his time in Baltimore. And now the Chargers, of course, another team that are becoming the Ravens West. Have you found any additional contacts through that expansion of teams, or McDonald for that matter, who he knows you well?
So, I mean, outside of the coaches who were in Baltimore and left, I mean, I haven't made contact with, I guess, new coaches on that staff. But I mean, the guys who were at Baltimore who are now at other teams, those are still contacts I have. I have their information, so I could always hit them up whenever.
Okay, so maybe that provides additional opportunity. I'm hoping for you here, but McDonald or Denard Wilson or somebody like that would be a great contact. Okay, so let's go back to something you brought up a little bit earlier, because this is something I've really wondered about. I always thought it would be much easier to practice within the structure of an NFL team. You know you're supposed to show up at the facility at whenever it is, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then you know you're supposed to work out for this time, and then you have scheduled meals, you have scheduled meetings, you have scheduled time on the field and whatnot. You don't have to think about what you have to do. You just have to try and do that thing well. As opposed to you really have to set your own schedule now.
It's always easy to do something when somebody in a position of power above you is telling you, hey, you need to go and do this. And if you don't, then you're going to face some kind of consequence. It's hard to do it when there's nobody kind of like, you know, looking over your shoulder, holding you to a certain standard. You know, I have to create my own standard. So I've just been trying to just go off of what I was doing before, like keep myself in the same kind of routine that I was when I was on a team. But I'm going to be honest, you know, I was getting up, let's say during the season, if I'm waking up at 5:30, 6 a.m., maybe I'm not doing that as much, you know, being I'm a guy who likes sleep. So like that, it's little stuff like that. That's, you know, it's easy to sleep in a little bit longer, maybe like push a workout, a little bit later in the day and not go in, as early in the morning. But I try to do a good job at staying away from that, because even though I don't have an opportunity immediately in front of my face, I know that I'm working for an opportunity. I just, for like on a personal level, just as a man, to be able to continue to get up and do what I'm doing every day, I think speaks a lot to my character, because it's definitely not easy to do. And it's really like, it's testing my resolve a lot. And, you know, this is something that I really want for myself. So I'm going to continue to do it, even if some days it's a little bit more difficult than others. But I have a goal that I want to achieve. There's someplace I want to be. So I'm going to continue to do what I need to do until something breaks.
Okay. All right. Is there anything to replace the meeting time that you would have? Because you don't have a playbook now that you're studying. You don't have anything in particular to learn. Is there anything else, any screen time you give yourself to kind of look over, generalize defensive concepts or anything? Or is it something that when you're presented with a playbook, you'll learn that because that's one of the things you really bring to a team?
So pretty much the most I can do is just watch football on TV. So like during when the preseason games are going on the last couple of weeks, I was just making sure to try to pay attention to like how each offense is run. Like, you know, what are the QBs doing? Like, where are they looking? Can I get any reads based on formations? Now, granted, I don't know what the defenses are running. I don't know what anybody's calling, but I can at least try to see if I can get a beat on like tendencies or, you know, anything like that. But yeah, because I don't have like an iPad in front of me, like there's nothing to learn, I guess, in that aspect. So, but that's one of my strengths, I would say, is I'm smart enough where I can come into an organization, they hand me the playbook, and then I'm good to go right away. So that's not something that I would worry about.
Okay. All right. And I've always thought that about you, that of all the things that people would look at, what you do on field would almost be secondary to what you bring to the meeting room. But I want you to talk about that a little bit with the Ravens in terms of how that meeting room ran and how you comport yourself within a meeting room like that, where there's going to be people at various speed levels in terms of picking things up.
So I wouldn't say it was super difficult for me to exist in the meeting room. So, you know, like you mentioned before, I did engineering. So you kind of have to learn how to be a good student.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
And if you want to, if you want to survive that that curriculum, so I got pretty good at, you know, learning how to get information, go back home, study it, come back in the next day, ready to I don't know, talk about what you learn or just ready for like to learn new stuff. So I did, a pretty solid job taking notes. Throughout the week we would have, they would break each day up into, whatever the focus was for the day, whether it was, first and second down play action stuff, third down, whatever other day, they would segment everything that made it a lot easier to learn. Not just getting thrown everything all at once. But we would always start off with, after team meeting, we would have unit meeting, then we would split off into positions. Then, we would just be with our position group. And the meetings were run pretty smoothly. I think that the coaches did a pretty good job, teaching us not only what we were supposed to be doing, but what we were supposed to be looking at from the other team. We watched the other team a ton, way more than like compared to how much film that we watch in college. Mm-hmm. So I think that it was definitely good. It was run very, very well.
So we definitely hear that about NFL teams anyway, that they're extremely focused on what the opponent's tendencies are. Mm-hmm. And one of the fun things, by the way, about having Harbaugh at the podium, Harbaugh will never tell you anything about the Ravens. He won't tell you about injuries. He won't tell you anything about material about players or about mm-hmm. plays. Offensive line problems have been generally happening this offseason. He won't tell you anything about that. The one thing he will answer if you ask him questions about is about what the opponent is doing. And then he'll go.
He gives a very detailed breakdown on not just like the whole team, but on specific players too during meetings. So that's always been pretty cool to see.
All right. Well, that's good to hear. Do they give you good information without obviously going into any specific detail here? Do they give you good information on tendencies by down and distance and things like that mm-hmm. that come in a packet for you?
Yep. And so one of the assistants in our room, Mariana Salas, she would do a really good job every single week of making like an entire write up on the tendencies that you're talking about. That each team would have, and then they would all be organized for us to go back and look at.
Okay, that's probably about as much depth as we want to go into that particular topic, but I do appreciate you answering that. I can just imagine, you've probably been at various times in your life the smartest kid in the math class or the smartest kid in the engineering class or whatever, and where you might be tempted to raise your hand with the answer more often. In the comportment component, that's one of the things I was really asking. Are questions put out to the group from time to time, or is it mostly a case of they're trying to give tendencies and trying to get the answer, get one particular person in the room to understand his responsibility within the system?
Questions would definitely be asked a couple times throughout the week. Usually that would come up during the end of the week after we've been over everything. And now they want to see, what has everybody retained. But for the most part, it's, really just the coaches they're giving their presentations. Players will chime in if they have questions here and there. Asking about, different things that we're seeing from the offense and, how does that affect if we're in this specific play? All right, well, how do we match up to that concept if we're in this play versus, another play? It was kind of funny though, because for me specifically, I was obviously on the practice squad all year. I'm not the one that's playing in games. So even if I know the answer and, a question gets asked in the room, I might know the answer, but I would kind of feel weird about trying to speak up and say something because I'm thinking, is it really my place? What are people going to say if I speak up and say anything? But so that was kind of funny to have to deal with during the year.
Yeah, I could see that being bad. I could see how, you actuaries should not answer a question for marketing, in particular in terms of what they're going to. Yeah, that's a great point there.
Especially if it's a question that like nobody is immediately chiming in to answer. So now I really feel like I'm looking like a know-it-all if I go and answer, but
they gotta, in some sense, they also gotta appreciate that about you too, because it also kind of validates the notion that they didn't fly over everybody's head when they were teaching the install or teaching the concept originally. Mm-hmm. All right, now in terms of the other Baltimore DBs, have you guys stayed close even after you left the organization?
Yeah. So we still have a group chat. Actually it was going off the other day. I would say that while I was there, the room was definitely close. I didn't spend as much time with the room during the year as, you know, as the guys on the roster, because they were, you know, traveling. Anytime they would go to a game or an away game, I'm pretty sure that they would go out to dinner a lot of the times. But whenever everybody was in the practice facility, you know, meetings were really fun. We would, whenever we would have breaks, everybody's always chopping it up with each other. There were a couple of times that I was just talking about random stuff with the coaches, which is pretty cool. And then I know one cool thing that we did around Christmas time was there was a like Secret Santa kind of thing that we did, which was pretty fun. And then we also got a Christmas tree for the room. So everybody was tasked with coming in with one ornament and, you know, putting an ornament on the tree. So there were a lot of things that we did throughout the year that helped us get closer to each other. But yeah, everybody's still in pretty decent contact.
Okay. All right. That's great to hear. How about film rituals or study habits or anything? Would you guys ever get together to watch film that was like kind of outside the thing? Or was there enough of that in the facility that you didn't need to do that?
I think there was enough of that in the facility because we were in there all day watching film. There were times when, you know, here and there, a couple guys might go to the room and just maybe something happened at practice that people want to go over. So they would, you know, go in there and then just break that down and go watch it. But for the most part, like everybody kind of had their own little process that they would go to watch film.
All right. I know Ozzie's big question was for a former line. Okay. So there are a bunch of guys from Michigan who got drafted all the same year from the same defense. And basically one of them said they were the leader and everybody else said that somebody else was the leader. And Ozzie said, do you guys watch film regularly to the Prescott Burgess, who was the one guy. He said, yeah, we watch film every Tuesday night together as a group. And he goes, who has the clicker? And then he had to admit that it was the other guy who had the clicker. And that was it. But Ozzie really understood the right question to ask.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess the next question I have is just what's next for Jeremy here in terms of looking for work or potentially going to another league?
So I guess all the above. So talked to my parents a lot about it. So while I am, you know, at home just training, no money is coming in at the moment. So that's another kind of hurdle that I've had to deal with. I did a good job budgeting and saving the money that I made from last season, but you know, it's dwindling. So I gotta think about trying to find a way to start accumulating some more money. So I have tried to, like, you know, start looking for some work around here, just, you know, locally that I could do during the day. But as far as football goes, I'm still, you know, training, keeping myself in shape, because never know when the phone is going to ring. And hopefully it does very soon. Hopefully it happens with the NFL this fall, but I think that a very good way for me to kind of get back into the NFL permanently would be to try to get into the UFL for the spring. So that's definitely something I'm training for. You know, I've talked to my agent extensively about that. So that's something that we're working on. So, you know, hopefully that does pan out, because I think it would go a long way for my career. So yeah, that's kind of everything that I'm working towards right now.
Experience at safety still cited occasionally as a reason why you're not on a 90 right now, we're not on a 90 this summer.
Because yeah, like I said before, I was a corner throughout all of college and then got switched to safety at the beginning of camp. So even though I did well, 140 snaps, had some pretty nice stats across all of them. I don't think I missed any tackles either, which is another, that's huge at the position. Not missing any tackles. Still could use more experience, and that's something I can't argue about. So the UFL would be a very good way to get that experience.
Okay. And at some point that's going to create an enormous heavy year of play, because the UFL is a spring league, right? And then you'd be back on in the summer, and then
so that is another thing I had to think about, because I think it's a 10 game season, and then I think playoffs are maybe 2 games, so you've got 12 there. I think the season ends maybe mid-June, so I would have a month and a half off before I had to report back to camp. Then I gotta play in 3 more preseason games, hopefully make the roster, and then go, you know, play an 18-week season. So that is a lot of football to play in 1 year. But that's the kind of thing where, you know, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. Hopefully it is a problem that I'm dealing with.
Okay.
So
Keaton Mitchell's father, Anthony Mitchell, who I'm sure you know the story, of course, had the big play in the 2000 playoff game at Tennessee. He's actually played in early 01. That was his 29th football game of that year consecutively. He played for the Rhine Fire. And he had, you know, fairly minimal special teams role with the Ravens primarily. Didn't play a whole lot of dimeback or anything. Got on the field, you know, just a few plays. And then incredibly, you know, he's at the heart of the maelstrom during that Tennessee playoff game and returns a kick 90 yards for the biggest play in Ravens history at the time. And it's incredible to me. It was 29th game there, and he played two more, so he's actually played 31 that season. It's something. But apparently, you're going to have to go through this if it all works out here. So that's something that's to look forward to, I guess.
But I mean, the good thing is that I love it, so I know it won't get old. And then I've been pretty healthy for a while now because I haven't played since last preseason. It's been a while since I've had to, you know, really go and lay my body on the line. So I, whatever little nagging injuries I had, those are all healed up. So I'll be able to, you know, go into the UFL with my best foot forward.
All right. Very cool. And I guess like the last question that I really have to ask is this one, what kind of will be the trigger or the signal, or do you have a sense of when you would stop trying to chase the dream at some point?
I don't have a set timetable or anything right now. I guess the best I can say is I'll just continue going until the wheels fall off. I do believe that I'll make it back in some capacity very soon. So just going to continue going until there's nothing left to keep fighting for.
All right. Well, it's great to hear from you again, Jeremy, and fantastic attitude about it. If people want to ask you a question about football, where can they contact you on Twitter or anything?
Yes, they can. So Twitter and Instagram are similar. I think it's J_Luce21 for Twitter, and then LUC. So JLUC_21
for it's actually Instagram. I'm looking at it right now. It's J_LUC21 on Twitter.
So then so for Instagram it's JLUC_21. I don't know why I did that. They should be the same.
All right. Really appreciate you coming on again, Jeremy, and telling us through your story here. It's been very compelling the entire way, and we really have loved getting some insights into a lot of the struggle that goes on for even more people than actually end up making rosters in the NFL, because there's probably a, you know, 1.1 for the 53 who made it in terms of other people who want to be there or on a 90 or wherever. Mm-hmm. Well, appreciate you coming on again. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'm open to your new ideas. Jeremy, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks again for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.